This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Believe it or not, we're live and we will take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. I'm Mark Packer, down in the basement, Chester and Fuller are chilling and grilling. And there he is, my partner right there at home in Cartersville, Georgia.
I'd like to welcome you to show 145, sir.
That's it. You know, Wes, the last time we did a show live, now we've done Q Series and we've done the Best Ofs and the Jordan Special and all that stuff that we did prime time for a couple weeks, right? But the last time you and I did a live show was March 13th. And I did a little math. That was 87 days ago. 87 days ago. Ironically, 87 days from today is Clemson at Georgia Tech, NC State at Louisville. How about that? 87 is your magic number if you have the bar bet. So 87 days ago is our last live show. We're 87 days away from a scheduled start of the regular season in the ACC on a Thursday night. So how about that? Crazy.
Was that the nugget you were telling us about pre-show that you had for us today?
I was messing around with that yesterday thinking, man, how long has it been since we've done a live show? And again, 87 is your day, Friday, March the 13th, a day that we will never forget. And here we are really at the halfway point, literally exactly the halfway point, heading into what we hope is a 2020 college football season.
Well, no question about that. And certainly in the last 2.5 weeks, a lot of positive things have happened. And when you start to think about the return of college football, certainly giving us a window to start it on time and potentially play a full schedule, the 12 regular season games and the 13-week grid, which, as you and I've talked about, I think is pretty important. I think the other thing about this, Mark, is that, as it relates to football in particular, it's going to be a different 2020 football season than really any other football season we've seen probably in the last 25, 35 years because of the no spring, the no off-season programs, things of that nature. The parallels, not only from a health and safety perspective with the coronavirus and COVID-19, but now all of a sudden here in the last week to 10 days, the equality and peace process in this country as it relates to African Americans and that movement as well has been an interesting dynamic. So I think the 2020 football season stands to be unique in several ways. And I'm interested to see how this process continues from a system standpoint of young people coming back to campus. There've already been reports of teams and players coming back and some positive tests and things of that nature. There's also some continuing developments with athletic directors and schools and conferences and how these campuses get back up and running a little bit. So there's a lot of things in play here in the next 87 days. In the last 80, in the 87 that have passed, think about how much we've seen and how much we've learned about what a potential new normal might be. And also the value of college athletics, not just football, but the value of this entire genre, if you will, about college athletics and where it is from a financial standpoint, where it is from an economic standpoint moving forward as well. This is definitely a different time for us in this business for sure.
Wes, we've never experienced anything like this. I mean, the pandemic is one thing, right? To see America basically shut down. And again, I go back to that March 13th show that we're sitting here in the Greensboro Coliseum with the impression that we're going to play basketball and kind of move forward here, and all of a sudden, boom, to a screeching halt. Everything stopped, and I mean just totally shut down. And I go back to, mid-March, late March, the gloom and doom that, oh, my goodness, when are we ever going to get back? And this was such a fluid situation even 87 days ago, even when we fast-forward it to today. I mean, we're not still exactly sure when we're going to play, how long we're going to play. But I do think all of us feel better that we are going to play, which I think is a really important thing. You mentioned the athletic directors, and, of course, we'll get into the whole racial unrest in the country and the pandemic and everything else. And Marvin Wilson is going to join us at the bottom of an hour, a guy that's really been front and center in terms of taking ownership on a social platform and making change. We'll get into all that with Marvin coming up. But just think about where we have been from March 13th to today.
Right.
The ebbs and flows of all of us, whether you're a broadcaster, a fan, somebody that works at an institution, mm-hmm. a player, a coach. I mean, you go right down the list of how the emotion has taken you up and down, high and low. You know, guys who are really smart people in our business saying, hey, you know, I don't even think we're going to have a season. And all of a sudden, a week later, you're on the other end of the spectrum going, hey, I think we're going to be right on time and things are going to be great. Again, we don't have that answer. Even today, even today, on June the 8th, we don't have the answer. But I feel better and more confident that we're going to have a season today than at any point in time in the previous 87 days since we did our last show.
Well, I think you and I both talked during this process about the all the variables that have come into play here, right? First of all, the institutions themselves, and then it comes back to the conferences and the Power Five conferences. And then I always want to make sure folks understand that Notre Dame is also in these discussions. Jack Swarbrick, their athletics director, as it relates to football. And I think it's important for people to realize that those five commissioners and Jack Swarbrick are doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. Sometimes as many as 3 days a week they meet for conference calls. I think early in the pandemic, Mark, Commissioner Swofford told us it was almost every day, right, that they were trying to get heads or tails sorted out of the early stages of this. And I think that's that group right there, when this is all said and done, there are going to be some unbelievable stories to tell about how they managed to engineer the new college athletics. And I say engineer it because you have to think about this. Just going to a game is going to be an incredibly different experience this fall and maybe for years to come in relationship to what it was previously, for sure.
Well, there's no question about that. And as John Swofford told us, even back in March and throughout this whole deal, the ACC falls under 10 different states, the footprint, and I'm including Notre Dame here. And the states are operating at a different level. And again, I'm not rehashing anything that folks don't know. And that's what makes this incredibly difficult to say, hey, listen, our league's going to play. I mean, the NCAA last week made the comment there could be some teams in big boy football in Division One that don't even have college football this year. So everybody's kind of operating in the best way you can. But your point about the Power Five, and I'll throw Jack Swarbrick in, as you mentioned, all working in unison with one. I mean, yeah, there's competition. The ACC wants to beat the SEC, wants to beat the Big Ten, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, you do get a sense that everybody's working for one common cause, and that is, number one, stay healthy, and can we open this bad boy up and have a football season, a rowing season, a tennis season, et cetera, et cetera. Again, we don't know when it's going to start, but I do think that, you know what, we are going to have a season.
Well, the other aspect I think you bring up, too, is the other sports that are going to follow the lead of football, at least as we look at it from the ACC perspective. What are those other sports? How is that alignment going to occur? We don't know that yet. And I think that's obviously a big part about this. The opening of these campuses to allow some of these voluntary practices and some of the testing that's going on, things of that nature. You know, those are cautious times. I think you and I talked about it off air last week that, you know, every school could be different in the ACC footprint. Every school could be different nationally, you know, but there is some procedure and process involved in this. And I think that's encouraging for a lot of fans. And then certainly you got to look to your lead from the health and medical folks, too, to give you an idea of kind of where this is and what the foretold of, you know, how the process is going to play out once we get to the fall. And, you know, let's hope on a good note that we can open up and have people in stadiums and things like that. Maybe we have people at social distance. Who knows how this is going to work? But the good news of the last couple of weeks has been it looks like football is going to go, at least for the time being. And that's a positive for sure, based on where we were a couple months ago.
Yeah, last week when we were doing our primetime show, we interviewed Vince Tyree from Louisville. And he mentioned that he was driving into work and all of a sudden some football players were there getting tested and so forth. And the vibe and the energy around the campus, you just take it all in because, hey, for the last 3 months, everything's been on shutdown. So you know, you see schools like Pittsburgh and Louisville and Clemson, and there will be others, obviously, as the month of June goes on. But, you know, student athletes are now showing up. They're being tested. Voluntary workouts are taking place. So you do get a sense. And are we back to normal? No, we're not, but we are definitely heading in the right direction.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think you're going to hear some of that today as we talk to a guy like Marvin Wilson, who was obviously in the headlines last week for really kind of bringing Florida State together in a different way. And Mike Norvell's first season as it gets ready to unfold. But we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about getting back to football and how important it is for that process to take shape and what that's been like coming back to campus and going through that that process and that part of the program for Marvin Wilson and his teammates as well. Mark Herslick going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, one of Boston College's all-time greats, and get his thoughts on maybe the resumption of college athletics and college football as well. And we're going to get to some phone calls, Pat, because folks have missed us and we've missed talking to them during this process.
Well, I will tell everybody, because I know I'm sure you're the same way, Wes. You get bombarded with fans and stuff going, "Hey, how you guys doing?" And say, "Hey, we're doing good." I mean, I mean, nothing's really, I'm going to be honest with you, nothing's really changed in the basement other than I'm now sitting on your side of the desk for technical issues and stuff and so forth. But the dogs are rocking.
Hey, you look good over there.
Yeah, but I had to take my chair. Your chair is too, didn't work for me. But nevertheless, Chester and Fuller are here in the basement. I don't know if Clifford D. Cat is hanging out with you probably, but the dogs are doing great. But it really has been an interesting time, though, I think, in the last 3 months. And I can speak on not only doing this show, but also the SiriusXM show off campus. I think it's been interesting to watch coaches and players and even announcers and other people in the world of sports give an honest opinion of where we are in the big picture with the pandemic, not to mention the social unrest that's taking place. And yet people are getting ripped left and right, and I don't get it. I'm going to be honest. It's been the one thing that's really bothered me the most, Wes, in the last 3 months, is that, hey, it's okay to give an opinion. It's all right. And the one thing we've harped on from day one, whether it be this show or the radio show, and I think it's now coming full circle with where we are in this country, is, hey, you need to give respect to people. White, black, green, red, blue, purple, whatever. Respect. You can have a disagreement. Hey, you can have a quality disagreement and argument, but yet at the end of the day, respect the person you're talking to. And I think it's been missed a little bit in the media in the last 3 months of people in our business who are giving an honest assessment of where we think we are in the big picture, and yet people are just piling on. I'm like, hey, you asked a question, somebody gave you a response, respect it, and let's move on. At the end of the day, we're all rooting for the same thing. We are. We're all rooting for the same thing, and that is we hope everybody's healthy. We hope we have college sports because we love it so much. In regards to the social unrest and the racial issues, hey, you know what? Let's get rid of racism and all get along. It is not that hard to respect your fellow man.
Packer and Durham.
You know what? It's been an incredible opportunity for student athletes to kind of take ownership. And you know what? A lot of them have, whether it be social media, any other means to get a message out. And we'll get into name, image, and likeness later on in the show. Bubba Cunningham had some comments about that last week. But, you know, the student athlete today, Wes, has more power and leverage than at any point in time since Dirt. And you know what? We're seeing it.
Well, I think the you brought up name, image, and likeness. That was going to be a small step. Well, they've taken not only the name, image, and likeness step, and now they've had 2-3 strides since then, right, Pac? I mean, the movement of young people, period, involved in this in the last 2 weeks has really been impressive, and to a degree, I think, very inspiring, Mark, to see folks, and I'm going to throw 18 to 25, 18 to 30 out there, as young people really taking a grasp of our country and an interest in issues and fairness and balance and equity and equality, for that matter. But I certainly think college athletes are going to have a platform that is most unique. And you said at the start, this might be groundbreaking. And we talked to Marvin Wilson. His actions last week, in many respects, I think are groundbreaking. They're groundbreaking in showing the power and the voice of a student athlete, especially one who's an All-America and a chance to have a successful pro career, in making sure that everybody's going to be on the same page and that transparency is a big part of it too, I think, Pac.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, it's one thing to give a statement, and I've kind of harped on this, whether we were talking about college coaches, players, whatever. You know, anybody can give a statement, right? And again, some people have given statements and gotten ripped for it, which makes zero sense for me, but whatever. But you can give a statement. But I'll tell you what's even more impressive is action. You know, words matter, Actions matter. And, you know, Marvin Wilson said something and then went and got something done. And he's not the only guy. I mean, you got a superstar like Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, who has certainly been very active on social media, laying out the message about what they stand for and what they're going to do about it. And like you said, it's refreshing to see young people take ownership of a situation. A lot of times you get a blanket statement, oh, that generation, they're lazy, didn't want to do anything. Hey, it's cool when young people get engaged and say, hey, listen, you know what? We can make a difference. We are here to make a change, and it takes all of us to be a part of it. And I'll go back to what I just said 10 minutes ago. Having respect for your fellow man, I think, is the start. And giving a statement's one thing, but here, again, here's Trevor Lawrence's comment. There's got to be a shift, and he said, I'm signing with my brothers that deal and continues the deal. The things I will never experience, the injustice is clear, and so is the hate. It can no longer be explained away. If you're still explaining it, check your heart and ask why. You know, coming from a kid that's 20 years old, that's strong. And I loved it because all of a sudden, you see, like you said, all these kids, student-athletes, kids probably the wrong term, but all these student-athletes that are going, hey, you know what? We can make a difference. So, again, I hope everybody's paying attention. And it all starts with the person you see in the mirror, man. It starts with you. You've got to do something to make a change to make this a better place for all of us. Simple as that.
Yeah, very thoughtful and insightful stuff from Trevor Lawrence. And he's one of many student-athletes in the ACC, prominent student-athletes in the ACC. I think Garrison Brooks of North Carolina, who obviously grew up in Alabama, had some very, very insightful thoughts as well. He appeared on a podcast with Jones Angel and Adam Lucas last week to talk about it. And I think, again, the thoughts and the opinions of young people, Pac, it's just been very, very powerful here in the last 10 days to 2 weeks on this topic, I think.
Well, here's another thing. You know, how do you make change? You can make change by having power. And one way you do is to vote. And there's been a number of schools around the country that have taken an initiative with their young people to get them to register to vote. I mean, Georgia Tech, you know, it's another great story, which we'll get into, whether it be today or throughout the course of the week, where, hey, November the 3rd, circle the date, because that's the day you make a chance to say thumbs up, thumbs down with whatever elected official you want. We're not going to go heavy politics, because that's not really what we do. But I do think it's cool that young people are taking ownership, that you can have a voice to make things better for your generation and for the rest of us. And again, if you're not energized by it, I can't help you on that because I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Marvin Wilson going to join us, by the way, bottom of the hour. And we'll talk to Big 21 about not only the news from last week, but also, as we said a moment ago, getting back on the football field. Pac, the other part about this is, and I think this has been discussed on obviously some other platforms, is the start of this movement for racial equality in this country is not just a flash and then, you know, back to business as normal. This is something that I've heard a lot of people talk about over the weekend, of it being day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, the building process, and a lot of work to be done. I think that's an important aspect, too, again, where I think the power and the voice of younger people, especially college athletes, is going to be very important going forward, and wouldn't be surprised if it's something that continues as we move back into games and seasons being staged.
Well, I hope so, Wes, because this doesn't need to be one of those things that, hey, it was a cool topic for 3 weeks and now we've moved on to something else. This needs to be part of your everyday DNA that, hey, you know what, every single one of us try to figure out a way to do better. Simple as that. Do better. What can you do to make life better for your fellow man? And again, I go back to the same word again, respect. I've heard it a lot on some of the interviews I've had on off campus on Sirius XM. We've done nothing but interviews here for the last 3 months. And that word comes up so often, and I think it's right on the money because, again, you can have a disagreement. You can say, you know what, I think that person's wrong. But at the end of the day, you don't absolutely jump all over them and rip them into shreds left and right on social media. Hey, you say, you know what, we disagree. You know what, maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong, vice versa, whatever the case may be. But if you're open-minded to have dialogue, conversation, which I think goes back to our conversation coming up here with Marvin Wilson, that's what it was. The dialogue was great, and guess what?
Yeah.
It made for both sides to figure out, let's figure out a way that this becomes a win-win proposition. And that's exactly what happened in Florida State last week. At the end of the day, what started off as a firestorm on social media, oh, my God, Norvell's in trouble. What's Marvin doing? Florida State football. Hey, you know what? At the end of the day, everybody, I think, ended up getting stronger because they worked together. They had dialogue. They spent face-to-face. Hey, here's my concerns. Here's your concerns. Let's figure out a way to come up with some mutual solution here. That's what it's all about, man. I mean, it really is. It's, and again, people are going to overanalyze this stuff to death, but I really do think it's as simple as saying, hey, listen, be open-minded to change. If you're in an uncomfortable situation, guess what? Take a deep breath and figure it out. Because we have got to be better. As a society, we've got to be better.
By the way, I thought, too, on our primetime show Friday night, I thought Vince Tyre, Mack Brown, and Elliott Avent, all three very successful in their chosen fields in the ACC, also talked about how important sports is going to be, Mark, as we do this. Not only are we coming back from a pandemic and a worldwide health crisis, we're coming back now to sports, not only through that, but we're coming back to it in a different light as a society. And sports is going to pave, and college sports in particular, paves a very unique trail for this, I think.
It does. And what it's going to look like, Wes, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, you're a broadcaster. There's been all kinds of conversations about you doing games from home. Who knows what it's going to be like from a season ticket holder? Hey, are you going to have 80,000 down there in Death Valley, or is it going to be 35,000? You know what? I will say this. Some football is better than no football. So regardless of its half-filled, social distancing, whether we're back to normal, I mean, I have no earthly idea what early September could possibly look like. But it is going to be different. It's already been different as we head into this thing, 87 days away from kickoff, assuming everything's on schedule. So, you know, everybody needs to do their part, and everybody also needs to be patient, right? I mean, hey, it is different. This world that we're living in right now, from the racial unrest to the pandemic to just the entire year, has kind of felt out of balance in some sense. You just are going to have to take a deep breath and do the best you can with it. But again, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out here in the next 3 months.
By the way, if we do a broadcast from home, I've got a press pass here somewhere for the broadcast from home.
Yeah. Well, I know this much. We've mastered Zoom.
Somewhere in here.
Yeah, I got you. Well, we've mastered Zoom. and I wish I had bought stock in that bad boy about 6 months ago. But it is different. I mean, even the sports that you have now, if you watch a NASCAR race or an Indy race, then, you know, there's nobody there. It's a different vibe. So, again, where this thing goes, I don't know, but I do know this. I do think we're making progress. What this felt like in late March versus April versus May versus where we are right now in the first week of June feels very different, but I do think we're making progress, and that's a good thing.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Being a man of color, I want to be that change. I want to be that guy to go out with all these tattoos on my body in a year or two, showing these kids that, yeah, I got all these tattoos, I got all this stuff going on with my body. I probably got earrings, or I might got a chain on. But at the same time, I'm going to be a millionaire, an educated millionaire with a degree. And I'll be able to tell them kids that you can be whatever you want in this world if you put your mind to it and you work hard, because you come from royalty. You are black, and you should be proud of that.
It's our man Marvin Wilson. Now, Marvin knows he's going to be on television with us today, so let's bring our man on from Florida State. Marvin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are good, and I can tell you right now, you know you are going to be on television today, because look at it. You got the cut, man. You look like $1 million.
Yes, sir. I had to get cut last night. If one thing I would have came on TV without a haircut, my mom would have been all on me. So.
All right, let's go back to last week. Coach makes a statement. You see the statement. Your initial response is what?
Initial response is really that didn't happen. You know, as a team, a couple guys at DM was going back and forth, DM each other about different things like that. And we met as a team on a group chat, and somebody was like, who's going to say it? You know, and I was like, I'll be the one, since I'm the leader of the team, I'll be the one to speak on it. And that's what happened. You know, that night I didn't get any sleep. My phone went off the charts. I was up all night, people calling me, trying to figure out what's happening and stuff like that. But I really wanted to keep everything in-house. I took the stands publicly, but behind the scenes, I kept everything between Florida State and this team. And so by tomorrow, that morning, Coach Novell called me. A couple guys at my house already that came over early on the morning to see how I was going to handle this situation going forward. You know, we talk like grown men. You know, we came to those three conclusions before we even met together as a team. Came to those three conclusions. Then we all met as a team. We talked. It was a great talk. Now we're moving forward. You know, and it was the stand that I took was never to be disrespectful to Coach Norvell or anything, but it was the stand that we all could be on the court moving forward.
Marvin, the two things that struck me, not only in what you did, but also the meeting with Coach Norvell, then the team meeting, things like that. Number one, you've always been a leader, and you always shoot it straight, but you got a lot of passion, whether it be about football, whether it be about this. I think the idea is that you take that passion and that leadership, and that's something that you cherish. I mean, I knew when I saw that you could get this done the right way simply because of the way you're wired. How much of that was you taking hold of a situation to say, hey, look, this is my window, and I'm going to use the vehicle of football and our football team to make kind of the first stance in college athletics about what we need to have going forward as a society, let alone the football team?
Just me. I don't do anything that I'm not passionate about, period. You know, so I took a stand as a team, not just for me. I spoke for all 100 guys on our team. I spoke for all our backgrounds put together. And I really just want to make sure that we all was on the same accord, that we all want to do this together. Before I took that stand, that we're all in this together, and we were. And so then that's all I needed to know. I had my guys behind me. No matter what happened further on, they're going to be behind me to support me. So it was no hesitation. I wouldn't do anything for anybody on this team.
Marvin, I'll tell you what impressed me the most. And it wasn't easy to do what you did. You mentioned you didn't sleep that night. You know, sometimes when you do something from the heart that you just know is right, there are some uneasy nights. And, you know, people are going to be uncomfortable when you try to make change. But the thing that impressed me the most was that there was more than just a statement on social media. You had a plan that, hey, we're going to be better by the end of the day when we get face-to-face and find a middle ground. And not only did you do that, but you also laid out two or three other additional things that you want to accomplish. Could you go in greater detail that this was more than just having a conversation with your coach? This was about making a change and a difference in your community and with your football team.
Most definitely. Anybody can make videos and post it about how they feel about what's going on in the world. It takes action, you know, and going to taking that stand that I took, moving forward, it has to be action behind what I was going to say. So even though I took that stand, so it's had to be steps moving forward to show people how we're going to move forward as a program, and me as a player, moving in through our community. So that's why we took those steps to going back to giving back to the community so we can build up everything around us, you know, and keep it and exalt this community. So at the end of the day, everybody is winning. Everybody is doing better, and we're making this world a better place to live in for generations behind us.
You know, the interesting part about this, too, is, and I thought about this yesterday afternoon, knowing you were going to be with us on the show, is that you've always struck us as not only the guy who's the team and the passion and all those things, but this is an entirely different offseason, Marvin, than anybody's ever been through. The pandemic was one thing. And now all of a sudden you guys are being asked to come back to campus and resume these workouts really for what you hope will be the complete season, 12 games in 13 weeks. But there may be some ups and downs along the way to getting through those 12 games. I'm sure you realize that too, right?
Most definitely. You know, through this little pandemic that we went through, some guys went home, you know, that went home with their families. And there was a lot of us that stayed here in Tallahassee, you know, and just getting to get different guys together this whole time, just, you know, just wishing that we're going to, our dreams going to come true this season, this fall, we'll be able to play football again. You know, every day it was different, you know, just getting out, trying to find different parks to go to, going over to our teammate Keyshawn House, who had a couple bench racks and squat racks, getting some work in, you know, driving clear across town to parks, try to get in with some trainers, like scrounging money together as a team, putting up money to get with trainers and different things like that. You know, we really have to invest in ourselves, invest in our future, you know, going forward. So that's one of the reasons why it was so easy for me to take this stand, because guys like that, you spend so much time around them, you all chasing one dream at the same time, you know, just start to build that camaraderie. So, yeah, it's been a great ride. It's tough at times, you know, not knowing when it's going to stop. And that's the hardest thing about chasing dreams, not knowing when things are going to stop. And so just coming out every day, praying to God, hoping for the best and keep moving.
Marvin, if you don't mind, take us to the meeting with Coach and with your guys, because I just assume that's got to be an incredibly emotional conversation back and forth, because I mean, Coach admitted, hey, you know what, I made a mistake with the statement. You guys are coming here going, hey, listen, we're not looking to point fingers. We're looking here to say, hey, listen, how can we work better together to be a better program? What was that meeting like? How emotional was it on both sides?
It was a great meeting. You know, after me and Coach Novak talked over the phone, we literally met at the stadium around like 9:45. The whole team was there. He came in. He apologized to us. You know, he expressed his feelings towards us. He opened heartedly. What we call it up here at FSU, we call it get naked. Is when you take everything off. You feel me? Take your mask off and everything. You just talk, and really, it comes from the heart. It really came from the heart. He told us the truth, and we came back and forth and told him how we felt about different things. You guys that spoke up, and we moved forward after that meeting. That was really the last time we talked about the conversation, because that's how we're moving forward. We all was a grown man about it. That's how we expected to handle ourselves as professionals, and we're going to be professionals.
Marvin Wilson with us, of course, took an amazing stand last week in Florida State. Now, Marvin, correct me if I'm wrong here. Sounds like you guys might be stronger now than you were a week ago at this time.
Most definitely. Literally that same day after we took that, the day after I took that stand, and we really came together, meet together, and said the things we're going to do moving forward. It was just a different vibe around the team. Honestly, it just felt like we got closer. You know, sometimes families feud, you know, fighting and stuff like that. But this time, that stuff really helped us grow closer. You know, and we built more relationships. Well, get more comfortable with our coaches going forward, and I feel like we grew as a team that day, and everything's been moving better, smooth sailing. You got guys feeling more comfortable around each other, from coaches and everything. You know, it was just a great move for us all the way around, and I feel like that's going to help us spring forward towards the season.
Marvin, Wes and I were talking leading off the show today that the student athlete today has more power than ever before, long before we even get to name, image, and likeness and all that stuff. What message would you have for other student-athletes around the country? And it doesn't even have to just be football. It could be women's tennis, whatever. I mean, there's 500,000 student-athletes under the NCAA umbrella. What message would you tell them today in terms of being able to speak your mind and look for change to make this a better place for all of us?
I would tell them to use their platform, you know, that they're bigger than just the athlete, and you have a voice, and a voice that needs to be heard. And it all comes down to the fact that about what are you speaking about, what is your end goal, and how you're going to move forward about what you speak on. And just living a life that you actually say you're preaching to everybody. You have to live that life. You have to going forward, no matter if you speak out or not, you know there's going to be a microscope on you at all times being an athlete already. Once you speak out, you have to live by it. And that's one of my biggest things, me personally. Moving forward is that I know once I took that stand, the microscope on me really zoomed in on me moving forward, and I'm ready for it. You know, I spoke up, I said it like a man, so I got to be a man about everything that I say. So I encourage any other student athlete, male or female, that you live by what you say, but at the same time, speak up and speak your mind.
Hey, can we spend a couple minutes here talking about football?
Most definitely.
All right. How does Marvin Wilson feel about where this football team is, given the way that spring was interrupted and the offseason's been a little crazy? What do you think the most important things for Florida State to accomplish maybe in the next 6 weeks or so before, let's say, a training camp or an August camp begins? What's the most important thing that you guys have got to get done in these workouts?
The most important thing for me is probably as a team is conditioning, you know, just being in shape. You know, you can be strong. The strength is going to be there. It's going to come naturally playing the game. But just knowing, getting that lateral movement back together, really having guys that's ready to roll, eight to nine play racks, ready to go at all times, you know. So once we moving forward, as long as everybody's in shape and ready to go, I feel like that's what's gonna help us take off and move full speed.
By the way, what was the workout like during the pandemic for you? What was the go-to move to stay in shape?
Go-to move is, you know, Tallahassee has a lot of hills, so we really got on some hills, and that was majority of our conditioning, you know, just going to get it in. And, you know, for us big men, we hate running, but at the same time, I was going to get about 2 to 3 other D linemen or a couple old linemen with me, and we're going to thug it out together, we're going to get it to us. And then you had Keyshawn, you had James Black, and you had different guys around us, or Brendan Gant, you know, different guys like that. That was just really, you need those small guys around you to motivate you, to push you, you know, and that's all you need.
Marvin,
I
want to follow up on that a second. Marvin, hey, I'm a big boy. You know what? I hate going uphill. When those little guys that can fly join you, that's got to be annoying, doesn't it? I mean, those dudes.
No, it's so aggravating. It's so aggravating watching them just pounce around, just act like it ain't nothing, you know, barely sweating. I'm over here drinking some. After 2 reps, I got sweat all over my body. You know, just these guys just run. They're just so talented, you know, especially running with these little guys. It makes you aggravated sometimes. And I just look at Big Coop over there, Big Coop dying with me. He's about to pass out. But, you know, it was fun. You know, it was fun. That's how I feel like we really grew close as a team over this pandemic. We're trying to get it in together.
I love it.
Hey, just remember now, when camp starts, they're going to put those quarterbacks in those jersey colors that you're not allowed to hit. So maybe you just a little hard two-hand touch or something on those guys after they ran up those hills so fast.
Oh, most definitely, you know, give him a little tap, you know, especially James Blackman, that's my guy. He always talk about how you want to run over me and stuff like that, but I'll let James know I'll snap him. You know, I'll snap him in half. But if coach ever turned me, I told James I'll snap him in half. But everybody else outside of that, like Tamarion, Terry and all those guys, I told Tamarion, if you ever catch a screen, I'm going to smash you, you know, in practice. I just let them know, just day by day, there ain't no game around here. I still remember those days that they ran. They would run dumb so fast. It was a laughing at us, you know, after the 13th, 14th rep when we was getting tired and them boys were still running fast. So it's all right. I always take mental notes. I always remember. So when I catch them lacking in practice, I'm going to get them.
Hey, you know what? You need to go hug your quarterback and say, hey, James, listen, brother, I'm a first-round draft pick. If I want to eliminate this problem, I will eliminate. You need to figure out somebody else to pick on, man. Don't mess with 21 now. Don't mess with 21.
Hey, it's just the culture of Florida State. You know, I met some of the best trash talkers I ever met at this school. You know, everybody's so competitive. You know, no matter what it is, like, we could be walking in the stadium and somebody be like, I bet you I could beat you to the door. And we just take off running. You know, it's just how it is. You know, everything is competition with no matter what we do.
By the way, who was the one?
Hey,
Who was the one person that you heard from after you took your stand last week that really hit home for you that you were doing the right thing?
Honestly, it was probably the rapper Wale. You know, Wale spoke out to me before I even posted my video like that. He really spoke out to me, and I really realized personally how much of an impact I had, or what student athletes in general had. I never thought nobody that caliber would ever see my video and actually really genuinely care. Honestly, you know, just me being a college athlete, but that really stuck out to me. You know, and big ups to Wale. You know, for reaching out to me. We talked a little bit. You know, he's a real good dude, loves the music. I just hope he keep performing.
Hey, Marvin, it's always great to visit with you, man. You're one of our favorites. You know that. We're glad to have you back in the ACC for this last year. But at the same time, proud of you for being the leader that you were last week. That's a huge stance, and it comes at a critical time in our country as well. And appreciate you spending time with us on our return show here at Packer and Durham.
Appreciate you having me.
All right. Marvin Wilson, one of our best, one of our favorites, Mark.
Well, that's a leader right there. Again, this is a guy that could have easily said, hey, you know what? I love Florida State. I love college football. But you know what? My calling is going to be to play professional football, make millions of dollars, chase my dream, take care of my family. He could have done that like that. You know what? He decided to come back.
Yep.
And good for him and good for us because we love college football. And for a guy like that to come back to school, and here's a situation with a new coach to take that stand. And that was not an easy thing for him to do. And to basically say, hey, listen, me and my guys, we're all one. We're going to figure this thing out. And he wasn't pointing fingers. Again, he was looking for a way to find a solution. As I pointed out to you half an hour ago, Wes, you know, every coach in America, a lot of student athletes have given statements, and that's fine and good whether you like this, what's said or not. Hey, we're all anti-racism. That's a given. But what really is going to impress you are the folks that take ownership and say, hey, now let's go do something about it. So, again, the statements are fine, but the actions are even better. And, right, the guy we just talked to would be the poster child right now for student athletes to take a stand and make life better for not only yourself, but your team and your school. And Marvin did a great job, and so did Norvell, because, listen, you know, first-year coach, he wants to get it right, too. And for Florida State, hey, really a week ago, there was a time you went, oh, boy, this could be a trouble. This is a nightmare. It turns out it might be one of the best things ever happened to the program.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was going with it, too. I'm curious to see how strong that bond is, how much stronger that bond is as the Noles get back to these workouts, and certainly once they get into August, too, because, you know, we talk about it just from a sheer football perspective, Pac. You know, there's a lot on this football team. The last couple of years have not been good. And Marvin Wilson, Tamarian Terry, Hamza Nasruldeen, those are all guys that are going to have a big say in what kind of fall Florida State has, for sure.
Not only that, Wes, they're also going to have a say on the community in Tallahassee, because that was one of the things. When they went through the list of here's the two or three things that we want to accomplish, you want to win games and win championships, and I mean, that's a given at Florida State and everywhere else. But they also want to say, Marvin's been there and said, hey, I've been there 4 years. You know what? I've been around Tallahassee. I've seen the parts of town that folks are living in poverty. We need to make this better in terms of them. And also education. That was another thing. They want to get the vote out. They want to better educate folks to be doctors, lawyers, et cetera. Again, I just love the plan that this was more than just us on the football team to get back and work out. We want to have an impact on our community. And again, when you see student athletes, young people take ownership for change, it's refreshing and it's energizing. And tip of the hat to all the good guys down there in Tallahassee getting the job done. That's great. Awesome.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We've had some unfortunate news of some legendary figures here in the ACC world that passed just recently. And again, this is our first live show in 87 days. But last week, it started really with Wes Unseld. And I know we had Vince Tyree on the show Tuesday when we recorded for the primetime show. And Wes Unseld passed away. And, you know, the one thing I did not know about him is that he won the NBA Rookie of the Year Award. And he was the MVP the same year. And only he and Wilt Chamberlain accomplished that feat. And he was a monster of a man and just an incredible player.
Yeah, late 1960s was the NBA Rookie of the Year and the MVP. And this was after, obviously, a spectacular career at Louisville, was a native of Louisville. And he's one of those guys, Pac, that I think with the current generation of basketball fans, if you go back and look at his numbers – you kind of go, whoa, wait a second. And then remember that he wasn't any taller than 6'8". But he was one of those guys, and I told you this last week, I met him one time, and when you met him, you thought, this guy is 8 feet tall. I mean, he just, 6'8", just didn't look like 6'8 on Wes Unseld. But his numbers, both as a collegiate player at Louisville and as a pro with the Bullets, was just amazing. Of course, they won the 1978 NBA title. Featured not only Wes Unseld, but Elvin Hayes. Mitch Kupchak was on that team, by the way, played at Carolina, now the GM of the Hornets there in Charlotte. But the idea of just kind of Wes Unseld and his impact on basketball, it's one of those, statistically, when you look at it, you realize just how good he was and for how long he was that good. And then he moved into the front office and did a nice job for Mr. Poland in that franchise as well. So, that's one. The other one came later in the week, a day or two later, I believe, and that was the former Pittsburgh coach, twice the Pittsburgh coach and winner of the national championship in 1976, and that was John Majors, who, my goodness, what a remarkable coaching career Majors hat, not only at Pittsburgh, but obviously at Iowa State and also at Tennessee, Pac.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough week. Pat Dye is another gentleman that we lost. It was a tremendous coach. Didn't have ACC ties, but a lot of crazy stuff happened last week. But Johnny Majors was an institution, not only with Pitt fans, but obviously Tennessee fans as well. And he will certainly be missed. We also lost a guy by the name of Tommy Davis last week, who played for the University of North Carolina in a motorcycle accident. Young guy, 37 years of age. And, you know, it's just it's a shame. I mean, goodness gracious, he's only 37 years old and just a tragic accident, and he's gone. Again, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families and friends from Wes Unseld and Johnny Majors and Tommy Davis. And we also got word last week about Floyd Little, incredible player for Syracuse that was diagnosed with cancer. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Floyd and his family as well. So just remembering a bunch of people here that there was a really tough week last week, needless to say.
Yeah, no doubt. And Floyd Little is a great ambassador for the Orange, one of those guys who's smiling face and friendly handshake you see whenever you go to the Dome for football and occasionally basketball as well. So our best to Floyd as he moves into this battle for sure. And we'll be thinking about him and his family, in the days ahead. By the way, you mentioned Marvin Wilson a moment ago, and number one, we thank him for his time. He was good enough to share it with us, and he's been with us several times before, and hopefully we'll have him back again. But I appreciate what he did, Pac. I think he could be the first of many collegiate athletes on a bigger platform to help this movement going forward in our country. I really do, and I think it's being geared and engineered a lot by young people. I think their intentions are good. I think the across all racial and religious boundaries, and I think Marvin Wilson played a big role in that last week too.
Well, there's no question. That's why when we asked him the question, you know, what would your message be for other student athletes? And is you do have a voice. And again, it's a voice not to create distraction and problems. It's a voice to make change, to make life better. And that's exactly what happened with Marvin and the Florida State football team last week. And again, 500,000 student athletes. And the message is going to be really strong. So there's a great opportunity for young people to take ownership. And we're living in interesting times right now, needless to say, Wes. I think it's remarkable. I think it's refreshing.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.